It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, President Trump held a meeting on the opioid crisis that has gripped communities throughout the country. We'll talk about the federal response and take a closer look at what's happening here in Wisconsin.
First, North Korea and nuclear strikes are one of the many concerns in Washington right now. President Donald Trump issued a stern warning to North Korea for threats to the United States, speaking yesterday.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
And in the Senate, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell suggested that the president doesn't understand how Congress and the legislative process work.
Sahil Kapoor is a national political reporter for Bloomberg News. He joins us to give us the latest on that and more in our Week in Washington segment. Sahil, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, this fire and fury statement from the president seems to be a lot of what's being talked about in Washington and around the world, for that matter. What are some of the reactions you're hearing in Washington, D.C.?
It is definitely the single biggest point of discussion today, and really yesterday, I think, since it happened. The really remarkable thing, I would say, that I think has caught people today is that the White House seems to be walking this back a little bit. The White House officials telling the New York Times and I think some other outlets that the president was improvising. The president's fire and fury, quote, was not vetted through his advisors and his generals and so forth, and that the White House is essentially switching the red line from rhetorical threats of action will be met with a response, a fire and fury from the United States, versus actions by North Korea are what will be met with response. So I think the White House is doing a little cleanup on the quote, because it certainly, the imagery the president used certainly evoked the horrifying specter of a nuclear war between the United States and North Korea. I think the White House wants to calm the waters a little bit on that.
And there's a recent tweet just over the last day from the president talking about the readiness of the American nuclear arsenal. Are people reading that as part of a package with the fire and fury remark?
Yes, that seemed to be, at least on the same level as that kind of escalation. When you have the president of the United States right after issuing that threat to North Korea talking about the power of the United States nuclear arsenal, I think it's pretty unmistakable what he's trying to say. But the really interesting thing there is that that happened right around the same time this morning when Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was trying, again, to calm the waters. He said, "I do not believe that there is any imminent threat from North Korea. Americans should sleep well at night," while the president is tweeting, that sort of escalation. So there is a discord here within the Trump administration as to how to message this.
Your news organization, Bloomberg, did an explainer on the steps that the president would have to take if he chose to retaliate with some kind of, nuclear missile strike. What, in a nutshell, what would that take?
Well, the important thing to know is that the president has sole authority to do this. The only verification that would happen once the president orders the launch of a nuclear strike would be that it has to be authenticated that the order did come from the president. Once that happens, nobody has the legal authority to block the president, to challenge him, or to countermand him. And depending on what specifically is being launched, this could happen from anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes. And in cases of ICBMs, they cannot be called back once they're fired. So this is obviously deadly serious stuff.
And any word on congressional response? I know a lot of Democrats had criticized the president. I think Senator John McCain on the Republican side critical of the statement. Any other reaction out there?
Well, a lot of Democrats have been critical of the statement. Talked about it as a thoughtless escalation and saber rattling that is not really backed by a strategy and does more harm than good. Republicans, for the most part, have been silent. Republican leaders, at least in the House and Senate, have not commented on this. A few of them who have done interviews back at home while they're in, while they're home for August recess, have commented on this. Most notably, as you mentioned, Senator McCain, who says, you need to be more thoughtful and disciplined about this, and this has to be part of a larger overall strategy, which it's not quite clear at the moment. what the administration is thinking on that front.
We'll get more into U.S.-North Korea relations later on today on Central Time. Right now we're talking to Sahil Kapoor about the big stories in national news, national politics this week. Let's turn to the Senate reactions, some back and forth between Senator Mitch McConnell and President Trump's team. Senator McConnell gave some of his toughest criticism of some ways of President Trump this week. Here's what he said to a Kentucky Rotary Club about the president's expectations of Congress.
Now, our new president had, of course, not been in this line of work before, and I think had excessive expectations about how quickly things happen in the democratic process.
So not scathing words there, Sahil, but criticism from the Senate Majority Leader. Have we heard anything like this from Senator McConnell up till now?
It's certainly criticism. It was very carefully worded. You could almost see in that video clip Senator McConnell self-censoring a little bit to make sure he's getting his thoughts out without being, you know, without being overly critical. But I think what he's trying to say is he's trying to defend his leadership and the Senate, which has obviously not passed a major piece of legislation that, you know, you can consider a signature accomplishment for President Trump in his first 200 days in office. So I think Senator McConnell is trying to explain that expectations were set too high at the outset, and he sort of blamed the president for fueling those expectations. We've heard Senator McConnell very gently chide the president in the past for mostly for his use of Twitter. He says it's unhelpful, to the cause of staying on message. But this was a little bit, I think, a little bit escalated from that, because he did, you know, suggest that the president is, of course, a political novice and is still figuring, you know, still trying to learn the ropes. We did have just about an hour or two ago, President Trump responded himself on Twitter, and I'm just going to quote him here. He said, Senator Mitch McConnell said, I have, quote, excessive expectations, unquote, but I don't think so. After 7 years of hearing repeal and replace, why not done, unquote. That's a real, I mean, that's the president responding to the Senate Republican leader and you know, escalating this back and forth, which is highly unusual between these two.
And this comes as they're getting ready to work on a change to the tax system. This would be a big thing, a big agenda item for Republicans. Is there any sign that they're going to be able to come up with, President Trump and Majority Leader McConnell, Speaker Paul Ryan, a coordinated game plan on tax reform?
It's certainly the goal, and that's what they've been trying to do. You've had administration officials meeting with McConnell and Ryan, as well as the two top tax writers, one in the House, one in the Senate, pretty regularly for the last few months. And what they arrived at was this very broad statement of vague sort of principles that they want, you know, that they'll agree on. So everyone wants to lower rates on the individual and corporate side. Yes, every people want to reduce and eliminate loopholes, and they want to aim for a permanent tax revision. Now, that's the easy part. You know, that's the easy thing for Republicans to agree on. They're all pretty much on that page. But when it comes to fleshing out a detailed proposal that can, pass the House, that can pass the Senate, that can withstand what is sure to be fierce pushback from lobbyists and industry groups who are adversely harmed, which is, again, inevitable for any major tax rewrite, that is a tall order, and that remains to be seen. Now, they promised a pretty specific deliverable. Speaker Ryan, at the very least, has by the end of the year that there's going to be a major tax reform, a bill signed into law, and I think markets and businesses have reacted accordingly. They're expecting this to happen. So, you know, whether they can do it, it's far from clear they can, especially with all the chaos and I think all the dysfunction we've seen in Washington. But this is certainly the goal. I think this is going to be their number one priority for the rest of the year.
We're talking to Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg News, looking at the top political stories in our weekly look at national politics.
And you can weigh in by calling 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you agree with President Trump's response to North Korean threats? Are you concerned about the use of nuclear weapons? And what is your take on the White House response to the attack on a mosque in Minnesota? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
More coming up, including your calls, coming up on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg News. We're looking at the biggest national news stories of the week.
And you can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of President Trump's silence on the Minnesota mosque bombing this week? Do you agree with Mitch McConnell's criticism of the president for having unrealistic expectations of Congress? And should the president put more pressure on Congress to pass Republican legislation? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Sahil, getting back to the Senate for a moment, a Wisconsin story you have been following. Senator Ron Johnson made news with comments on Senator John McCain's vote on health care reform. What happened?
Yes, so I believe it was yesterday, sometime earlier this week, Senator Johnson was speaking on the radio about the health care vote that transpired, and Senator McCain, of course, was ended up being the deciding vote to shoot this bill down it was a stripped-down version of the ACA repeal that they called skinny repeal, and Senator Johnson, in that interview, seem to draw a link. I'm just going to quote him here because I don't want to mischaracterize. But he said, "I'm not going to speak for John McCain. He has a brain tumor right now. That vote occurred at 1:30 in the morning. Some of that might have factored in." Unquote. That was widely criticized immediately after it was reported as the senator drawing a link between Senator McCain's health condition, his brain tumor, and his decision to vote against the ACA repeal bill. The senator has since walked that back. Mr. Johnson put out a statement saying, I'm going to quote him again here, "I'm disappointed I didn't more eloquently express my sympathy for what Senator McCain is going through. I have nothing but respect for him, and the vote came at the end of a long day for everyone," unquote.
All right. Well, we'll see. That might be the end of that one. We'll watch for further comment. I want to bring in a caller. I think getting back to North Korea, we've got Susan on the line in Madison. Susan, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think really that we need to really rethink our policy. I think North Korea has a request behind all the saber rattling, and I think it's important for the powers that be to start thinking about how they can make a solution out of this as opposed to making it into a big possible nuclear war, which in we all know no one wins. And I'm disappointed that we don't have people that are supposed to be educated that can actually think about, well, how do we make this anger into a which is a request somehow. There's a request behind it. How do we make them a player at the table, making them feel like they, you know, deserve this place, and how do we make them really come to their senses in a calm manner instead of, all the saber rattling back and forth, which is clearly not good for anyone.
Susan, thanks for the call. We also heard from Charlie in Milwaukee, who couldn't stay on the line, who said he doesn't always agree, I think, with the president, but he appreciates the tougher, more confrontational approach. Maybe it's a new change that will work better with North Korea. And Sahil, that kind of spells out the problem in a nutshell. I think nobody knows exactly what's going to work with North Korea.
That's exactly right. This is a problem that has bedeviled the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, and the Obama administration. Everything that the smartest minds in the United States had tried with regard to North Korea has not worked. It is a very unique country in the sense that it's already pretty isolated, so economic sanctions don't have a huge impact. It spends most of its money on the military, and it has obviously nuclear capability. It has a leader who is, a little bit difficult to read. There are questions about how rational he is. So the idea of containing him and containing North Korea has continued to be a problem. I do think President Trump is attempting something that his predecessors have not, which is, to evoke the specter of a full-fledged war, in his words, like the world has never seen before. So I think that is a new tactic, which, to say the least, may not be any more successful than what his predecessors have tried.
Thanks for that call, Susan, and for calling in, Charlie. A couple more issues I want to get into in the news. Paul Manafort, former Trump campaign chair, office raided, the news came out. This was in late last month by the FBI. They visited him, a pre-dawn visit. Apparently he cooperated as they were looking for evidence. What does this tell us, Sahil, about the ongoing Russia 2016 campaign investigation?
A couple of things. It tells us it's certainly escalating between this news and the fact that Mueller is looking at convening a grand jury to explore, further escalations of this, suggests that this is absolutely moving forward. One of the interesting things about this is that the Washington Post reported that this, what they call the pre-dawn raid, happened late last month, which also suggests that Mueller is functioning not for the public eye. He's not leaking these things. He's operating, privately, the way an investigator generally should, and not trying to make waves, and not necessarily trying to make news out of this. So it seems like he's doing this in a methodical way. And I think the use of search warrants to apparently seize some documents and other things in the home suggests that there was a specific goal here. So. A rough stretch at this point for Paul Manafort.
And then closer to home here in the Midwest, a bomb exploded at a mosque in Bloomington, Minnesota, near the Twin Cities. What kind of responses have we seen from the Trump administration so far?
Not much. The president has not commented on that, on the bomb that exploded at the mosque in Bloomington. His national security aide, Sebastian Gorka, said it's only because they don't know the ideological motive behind the attack. But, of course, the president has not been shy to comment on prior attacks that were, that he's called terrorist attacks, that were eventually found later with more information to be terrorist attacks. I think this has also fueled criticism from I think his biggest skeptics, that the reason he's not commenting on this is because it was a mosque rather than a different site with a different group of victims. I think that's what his critics are raising the specter of.
And then briefly, as we wrap up, apparently some Republican donors may be holding back some of their money now after the failure of the Affordable Care Act repeal. What do we know about that?
Well, I think this is less of an issue in the House. I think this is certainly a problem that Republican Senate leaders have to face, which is that they promise their donors a bunch of things. Top of the list was ACA repeal. A lot of them would have gotten tax cuts, whether it is, reduction of things like the net investment income tax and things like that. And if you're not delivering what you're promising, then obviously donors are going to be skeptical as to whether you can do that in the future. So this is a normal thing. This is a byproduct of the fact that 200 days into the Trump administration, Republicans don't have a major achievement to brag about.
We'll leave it there for now. Sahil, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg News, joining us for our recap of the top stories in national news.